We're dealing now with the Gospel through John. And I want you to point out, as we've been doing these last two or three mornings, on the introduction to this wonderful Gospel, that the great question is Jesus the Son of God? And John writes to answer that question and to prove that he is, as he could say in the Epistle of John, that which we have seen, that which we have heard, which our hands have handled of the word of life. And the word was manifested, and we have seen it, and declare unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. I'm quoting 1 John chapter 1, the first two verses. And in the Gospel through John, where we have this wonderful revelation given to us, I want you to notice in the first chapter, and allow me to do this today, will you please? In the first chapter, in the first 18 verses, all that follows in the Gospel through John is the proving, the bringing to assurance in the heart, what we read here in chapter 1, 1 to 18. You know, the ancients used to say that chapter 1, 1 to 2 of the Gospel through John should be written in gold in every Christian church. Well, what are those two verses? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Then you have him as the Creator. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness could not put it out. Or, as the King James Version says, the darkness comprehended it not. And then he goes on to speak of the coming of John, a man sent from God. And you will notice that when it comes to the introduction of this wonderful Gospel through John in these first 18 verses, all you know about John the Baptist is a man sent from God. Even John coming on the scene is not in any wise to blur the vision of our Savior. He was not that light. He came to bear witness of the light. Man in such moral darkness that light has to have a witness? Yes. Man was in such darkness, spiritual and moral darkness, that God sent a man to bear witness of the light. He was not that light. He was a man sent from God to bear witness of the light. And Jesus Christ is that life. While I speak of that, will you notice that John, nothing is said about John, about his mother, about his birth, about his dad, about his preaching? You don't find him here warning them to flee from the wrath to come. And when you go in the other Gospels, especially in Matthew and in Luke, much is said about John the Baptist, especially in Luke's Gospel. You have his father, you have his mother, you have what he was before he was born. He would be a man filled with the Spirit of God from his mother's womb. You have what he preached, you have how he warned this group and that group. You have him baptizing in John, and all were coming to John, and all declared to be a prophet. You don't find that in John's Gospel. In the Gospel through John, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. That's all you need to know about him. You don't need to know where he was born, how he came. He was only to bear witness of the light. And when they went after John concerning this, he said, "Listen, all I am is a voice crying in the wilderness." In this first chapter, for example, they try to get John occupied with John. And by the way, you know, this is where we all fail. How did Satan cause Eve to fall? In Genesis chapter 3, all he had to do was to get Eve occupied with Eve. And when she was occupied with Eve, then she was on the skids. They came to John and said, "Are you the Christ? Are you the one we're looking for?" He said, "No, I am not the Christ." "Are you Elijah?" "No, I am not." "Art thou that prophet?" That is the one spoken of by Moses in the book of Deuteronomy. "Art thou that prophet?" "No." Do you notice his answers became more and more brief? He confessed and said, "I am not the Christ. I am not Elijah." "No." I'm only the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Who wants to be just a voice crying in the wilderness? John the Baptist. Once he got a glimpse of the Savior, he became a worshiper. And John doesn't care what you know about him. He's a worshiper. He's occupied with the Son of God. This is why in the Gospel through John, you have nothing about Jesus. Where he was born, who his mother was. Oh, wait a minute, you say. What about his mother in chapter 2? Did you notice chapter 2 of John? His mother came to him at the wedding feast and said, "Son, they have no wine." How did he answer her? "Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come." Neither Mary nor Joseph have any place in the Gospel through John. Nothing about his birth or his boyhood days. In the beginning was the Word. You see, friend, John is answering the question, is this Jesus, God manifest in the flesh? There's no birth to God. He's the Eternal One. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth." Verse 18, "No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him." I am not surprised then that when you come to your Bible and take these Old Testament worthies and New Testament worthies, once they got a glimpse of the Son of God, they were transformed men. What transformed them? Relationship to Jesus. My friend, listen, you can't come into the presence of Jesus and have a dealing with him and ever again be the same. Take Abraham. Our Lord said in John 8, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day." He rejoiced and was glad. And when the God of glory appeared unto Abram and said, "Get out," he obeyed and went out not knowing whither he went. Or you take this man, Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 6, "In the year that Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. And when God said to him, 'Whom shall I send and who shall go for us?' He said immediately, 'Here am I, Lord, send me.'" Hey, but you say, that was the Lord from heaven. When I come to John chapter 12, John informs us that the one that Elijah saw, or Isaiah saw, was the Lord Jesus, for he spake of him when he saw him in his glory. What about Samuel? In 1 Samuel, you remember chapter 3, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." Samuel, Samuel, "Speak, Lord. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." Take the Apostle Paul. I'm quoting from his own testimony in Acts 26. When he said to King Agrippa, "O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision." Have you seen the Lord? Let's look at John chapter 1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God." Who is this one who was in the beginning with God? Who was this one who was God? The Word was God. Verse 14. "And the Word was made flesh and tabernacled among us, dwelt among us, full of grace and truth." And John adds in the middle of that verse, "And we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father." John, when did you see Jesus in his glory? On the Mount of Transfiguration. If you don't believe that, turn to 2 Peter chapter 1, where the Apostle Peter says, "We were eyewitnesses of his majesty." Peter, when did you see him in his majesty? When we were with him in the Holy Mount. You see, friend, Jesus had said in Matthew 16 at the end of the chapter, "There be some standing here who shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." And Peter, James, and John saw the Son of God coming in his kingdom. And so John could write, "And we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, verse 18. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who was in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him, or he hath shown him forth. Who talked with Adam and Eve in the garden? Who talked with Abraham under the oak trees? Who was it talked with Moses when Moses went in the mount? We read in Exodus 32, and God talked with Moses face to face as a man talks with his friend. Jesus could say in John chapter 5, had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for Moses wrote concerning me. So one could go down through the scriptures. Whom did Isaiah see? The Lord Jesus. Whom did Daniel say when he said, my comeliness is turned to uncomeliness? No man hath seen God at any time. Whom did they see then? Whom did Gideon see behind the winepress? Whom did the father of Samson see? Whom did his wife see? They had to say, we've seen the face of God, and behold, we live. Whom did they see? John here writes, no man hath seen God at any time, but the only begotten Son who was in the bosom of the Father, he hath shown him forth. And I say, my friend, very frankly to you today, you will never really know the living God until you come into right relationship with Jesus Christ, God's Son. This was why he came. This is why he took his place in the human family, to bring to man the revelation of himself, his character, his love, his compassion. It's an amazing thing to me that people say, I believe in Jesus, but I don't believe in God. Strange statement. What is your God like? Well, you say, Jesus is a God of love. And whom do you think he is? It's God manifest in the flesh. He came. Well, look at that 18th verse. No man hath seen God at any time, but the only begotten Son who was in the bosom of the Father, he hath shown him forth. Do you want to know him? Do you really, honestly want to know God? My friend, you'll never know him apart from Jesus Christ, his Son. And when you come and put your trust to believe on Jesus Christ, you receive not only relationship to him, but you receive life eternal. You receive a divine pardon. Every sin will be forgiven, and you will be fitted for the presence of God. By what? By just putting your trust in God's wonderful Son. My friend, do that. And again, may I remind you, he is saying to you, come unto me, all ye that labor, now heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Why don't you come? Come today.